on this All Hallows Eve. It's time for us to break open God's Word in the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show where we break open God's Word in the Book of Sung Praises, better known as the Psalms, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And today we're going to take a look at Psalm 56, at least part of Psalm 56. So if you want to listen to these Soulful Psalm segments, just go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or listen on the EWTN app or your favorite podcast medium, iTunes or Spotify or something like that. All right. So the prescript is very interesting for Psalm 56. Okay, so first of all, Psalm 56 is in Book 2 of the Psalms, Psalms 42 to 72. Psalms 51 through 72 are attributed to David. Well, 72 says of Solomon, but it's thought that David wrote that psalm about Solomon. Okay, but so Psalms 51 to 72 are David. And so this is Psalm 56. The prescript is the entire first verse says this: for the choir master, intoned like the dove of distant places. So obviously David had this tune in his head. I want this psalm to sound like this other song called the Dove of Distant Places. Obviously, we have no idea what that sounded like, what that tune was like, what key it was in, nothing. So David wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master, and instructed the choir master, I want it to sound like this other tune. And it also says, a michtam, so a michtam today means thing that covers. And it's interesting, when you see this word michtam in the prescript of the psalms, it's only attributed to David. So it's not a michtam of Asaph, a michtam of the sons of Korah, a michtam of Jeduthun. It's only a michtam of David, right? So somehow what this word meant back in the time when the Psalms were written, we don't know what it meant, what it meant back then, okay? We know we have a meaning for it now. It means a thing that covers, but we don't know what it meant back in the time when these Psalms were written. But somehow it's connected with David. Only Psalms written by David, and not all of them, but some of them have this miktam attached to it. It says, a miktam of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. So, wait a minute. David was captured by the Philistines? Okay, what was going on here? Now, remember, in the very end of 1 Samuel 18, all the way through 1 Samuel 28, is this persecution of David by Saul. Okay, so we see David constantly running, escaping, hiding from Saul. So that's why you see many of these psalms have this kind of theme of trusting in God's mercy and defeating his foes and overcoming his enemies, right? Because he's writing a lot of these psalms during this time. So one of the things that he does, he escapes to Gath. Now you ask yourself, wait a minute. He defeated Goliath the Goth, he embarrassed them, defeated them over and over again. Why would he now run to Goth, run to the Philistine king? That makes no sense. Ah, but think about it. No one would think of looking for you there, right? I mean, if you think about it, like Saul would not think, oh, where would David go hide? Oh, yeah, he's going to go hide with the Philistines who he killed thousands of them. He would never think to look there. But also think of the boldness of David to go to a place where his enemies were to seek shelter. So David went to the Philistines. He went twice. We see in 1 Samuel, right in 19, he goes to Gath. And then obviously they were not happy that he was there. And so he pretended to be insane. And, was foaming at the mouth and all that kind of stuff. And they said, why'd you bring me this guy? This guy's a nutcase. Get him out of here. You know, so he threw him out. But then he ends up going back again several chapters later in about 1 Samuel 27. He goes back to Gath again, to the king at the Asich, who was the son of Moach, king of Gath. And so he went there. And interestingly enough, the king of Gath, Achish, actually gave David a city that he could dwell in. He gave him one of the town, what's it called, Ziklag. He gave him a town, Ziklag, and David was there. He brought two of his wives with him. He brought some other people with him who were loyal to David, and they went with him, and they established themselves as a little town called Ziklag that was given to them by the king. Again, because think about it, the king had tremendous respect for David because he was such a tremendous warrior, you know. It's very, very, very interesting. I could more about that, but let's try and get into some of the psalm here as well. So it starts in Psalm 2, verse 2. Have mercy on me, O God, for people assail me. They fight me all day long and oppress me. My foes assail me all day long. Many fight proudly against me. So we see here what's called the synonymous parallelism, where the cola in verse 2 and the cola in verse 3 kind of mirror each other. Okay, so he's asking God for mercy. Why? Because he's being assailed, as we just talked about. He's being heavily persecuted, and people are constantly fighting him, constantly oppressing him, assailing him, and he's asking for God to show him mercy, to show him clemency. And again, we cry out to God all the time in our time of need as well. And in verse 4, on the day when I shall fear, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not fear. What can mere flesh do to me? I love David. He has this pattern. He cries out to God for help. He explains what the situation is. And then he says, okay, look, God, I need your love. I need your mercy. I'm being persecuted. But you know what, Lord, I'm not going to fear. Even though I'm going through this right now, I'm not going to fear because I trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not fear. You know, so we're talking about Halloween today, and there's always this talk about witches and ghosts and goblins, and I'm sure some people will watch scary movies, the Exorcist or, you know, Friday the 13th or whatever, you know, but even if there's some dark things going on around this time of year, we don't have to fear because our God is greater than any of the lower gods, small g gods of the culture, whether those be occult forces or demonic forces. Our God is greater than all this. We should put our trust in him, trust in the church, trust in the sacraments, most especially most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, which is the fullness of Christ's presence with us on earth, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it continues, all day long they distort my words, right? I love that. So the distorting of words, and we see that happening in our culture today, right? Redefining things and trying to twist and distort and pervert reality to match the cultural narrative, right? So we have to redefine marriage, redefine gender, redefine what it means to be a man, redefine all these kinds of things. And so what we need to do is to look to objective truth, to look to things that are true in and of themselves, not because I want them to be true, but they are simply true. Some of those truths are, is that men are males, right? And women are females, you know, and that's just truth. Marriage is a man and a woman. That's the objective truth, because those are truths that come from God himself. God who, as David says, the God that I trust, the God that I praise, the God that I honor, the God that I respect, that's the God that we give worship and honor to today. And he continues, they band together in ambush. They watch my very footsteps as they wait to take my life. Right? So again, David is running. David's living in fear, but he's also living with the confidence that no matter what happens to him, he's always looking over his shoulder. right? But no matter what is happening, he's going to trust that whatever happens is part of God's will. And that's the kind of trust we need to have, right? Yes, and there's some things that we do fear, that diagnosis that we just got from the doctor. In fact, there's just a very, very good friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, who's also a deacon, you know, is going through some things now. You know, I have other friends. I mentioned yesterday this family that was part of my parish that moved out of the area, you know, dealing with the loss of a loved one in that family. There's just so many people struggling with so many things. And it feels like, you know, that we're being ambushed, that we're being, you know, that evil is winning, but it will never win. Because our God is an awesome God, as the song says. Our God is greater than any force of evil in this world. We have to place our trust in Him.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.